The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
I have Ferrell on a bench with you, with Carver High. So, you know, I was talking about Kobe there at the end of the hour. So today they announced that the pilot's to blame. And, it's just crazy, right? And then I'm sitting here watching the Lakers play the Celtics in the finals. I'm watching Kobe Bryant go off, but they lost that game that I was watching. The Celtics and Pierce beat them in L.A. And it's just creepy, right? And I still can't believe he's gone. I still can't believe that it happened. And, you know, I guess out of nowhere, they announced that it's the pilot's fault today. So what did you think of that, Carver High, when they announced that? Like, did you think all along that it was going to be blamed on the guy? Or did you think it was going to be just a weather thing?
I kind of thought it was just going to be a weather thing. I didn't think that there was going to be any kind of like, you know, blame. Like, this is his fault. You know, he did this. I thought that they would just go with the whole, you know, it was pretty foggy that day. Probably nobody should have been out there, you know?
So today we had on Todd McFarlane on Coast to Coast. I thought that was a real interesting interview. And you know the thing that stuck out the most to me, Carver High? You know
What was that?
Well, I think it was the part where he talked about, like, for the first time, he admitted to me why he did it, why he bought the balls.
And it was very interesting.
Right? Like, I've never heard him say it. I've never heard him say anything other than he loves baseball and that he was a sports collector. He liked memorabilia. The guy likes, this is the guy I know. He likes comic books, right? He's obsessed with art. He's obsessed with action figures, toys. That's what he makes. And he's an artist. That's what he is. And the guy's made a fortune with his art and the Spawn series. It's still going on now. I think they have like 307 some episodes, something like that. But I'm going to tell you when I come back exactly what he told me and why he bought all those balls and the Barry Bonds ball.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
I'm from on the bench. So we were talking about Todd McFarlane, and the people can think whatever they want about him, that he, you know, he bought the all the balls. He bought all the first home run ball. He bought the 70th home run ball of McGuire. He bought the 33rd home run ball of Sosa, which was the 20th home run ball hit in the month of June in 98, which was a record, right? And then he bought all the rest of them, you know, 60, 61, 62. And then, you know, he just wrapped it up by buying all of them, right? Let's just get real here. He bought them all, the 66 ball, you know. And then I think they were, what were they, tied at 65, 66, and then it went 68, 69, 70 for McGuire over the final weekend. And that's what he ended at, was 70. And then he, you know, admitted that he spent over $3 million for the balls, right? And then he bought the Bonds 73 ball when he didn't even want to buy it. He had promised his wife Wanda that he wouldn't buy the ball. He even had his confidant, who's his top official at his company, Carmen, this chick, I know her, she's cool. And he convinced her to tell the wife that, don't worry, he's not buying the ball. And then he ended up, ESPN begged him to be a part of the auction because he had a name in you know, collecting baseballs and sports memorabilia and stuff like that. He had been a high-end multi-million dollar purchaser, if you will, of, you know, balls and sports memorabilia. So they asked him if he'd be a part of it. He did. He had no intention of buying a ball. One thing leads to another, and he admitted on the show today, he's just like, it was like going once, going twice, boom, sold half a milli for the Bonds home run ball. And then, you know, a lot of people thought that that ball was valueless, almost, based on, you know, 500 grand for that ball is a joke, because, you know, if you hit 73 home runs, that ball would be worth $5 million, right? But because everyone knew he was juicing his face off, no one respected it, right? But TV and ESPN and everybody else was fascinated with him hitting them home runs. Just like you were watching it, just like I was watching it. So I had a long history with Bonds, right? I had a long history with him. I covered Barry Bonds' career in Pittsburgh and every single day. And I got in arguments with him. I got in fights with the guy. I told him, you know, I thought he was an asshat right to his face. And believe me, I didn't use that word. I just think the guy's a D. It's that simple. I've said this a million times. The guy's one of the biggest D's I've ever met in my life. And I told him right to his face what I thought of him. You know, he's a, like, at the time, I think that, you know, Barry Bonds at the time, he was a skinny twig, right? I still think he could have probably beat my ass because he was a, you know, a pure athlete and he was ripped, right? He had no body fat, and he was, you know, very strong and very powerful and very fast. I think he would have struck like a rattlesnake if I fought him, like in a fight, because I called him right to his face. I called him a vulgarity because the guy was just a jerk to people, and he could not stand the media. If you were in the media, it didn't matter how cool you were, because I was just as cool as they come. I was the coolest dude ever. Like, you've heard Carver High, you can't even argue with it. You have heard NHL players tell you right to your face that I am, they loved having me in the room because I was cool and I was fun and I was funny and the interviews were different and I never harassed anyone. I was just trying to make it comedic and trying to make it entertaining, right? The interview. I was trying to get them to say things they'd never say to anybody else and to laugh and to have a personality, right? But this guy, Bonds, he wanted no part of anybody. He didn't care who you were. He did not care what you did, who you were, where you worked, what you were on, TV or radio or otherwise. Writer, it didn't matter, national, local. He hated everyone. And he was an absolute jerk. And I mean, you have to implement right now every swear word you know on the face of the earth and inject it into this conversation. That's how much of a jerk he was. But I've said before, I've never seen anyone swing a baseball bat like that. I have never seen anyone rip a baseball bat into a fastball or any kind of pitch in my life. I've never seen anyone swing like that. I used to love Will Clark's swing. I used to love watching George Brett was my favorite player. Chipper Jones was my second favorite player of my whole life. Those were the, I thought they had the sweetest strokes. And Will Clark, I thought, had a sweet stroke, right? You can't even deny it, Carver High. But those three guys had beautiful strokes. Rod Carew had it. And I think that, you know, Tony Gwynn had it. He had a very short, compact, tight, just absolutely just underneath it. He just came inside and just cranked. It did. You could not get a pitch past Tony Gwynn, but you could not get even anything past Barry Bonds. Literally, they had to walk him. Like, he had the most unbelievable walk ratio in the history of the sport, right? Like, no one would pitch to him because he terrorized every baseball. And he did that even when he was a 40-40 guy with the Pirates, right? Carver High, like, can you even deny how great he was?
Nah, he was unbelievable. Even before the steroid stuff, when he was on the Pirates, he was a dominant player. He got, as we know, everybody knows the story. He got jealous of watching those two guys run around the whole summer in 1998 and said, oh yeah, you want to see it? Here we go. I'll start taking it too. But he was dominating. I mean, what, how about the time Showalter walked him with the bases loaded because he didn't want him to hit a grand slam? Right, he gave up the one run because he didn't want to give up four. You know, it's just
smart.
That's how dominating the guy was.
Well, look, here's the deal. So Todd McFarlane bought the ball, and it was worthless because everyone knew he cheated. And so, you know, I don't feel sorry at all for Barry Bonds in his afterlife after baseball because he basically got fired by the Marlins, right? They finally just said, you know, we just can't have you around. I mean, he's like a – you know what he is? He's like a rainy day. I mean, that's what he is. He's a five-day rainstorm. He's just constantly just lousy, miserable, rainy weather of a, you know, person, right? He's just a D. No one wants to be around him, even though he has great wisdom, great advice, great knowledge, great swing. He could help any kid. He could help any baseball player in the majors, minors, otherwise, to be a better hitter. There is no questions asked that he could do that. But he's such a D. Nobody wants to be around him. If you can't figure out anything when I say D, then you go to bed. Okay? So here's the deal. Todd McFarlane bought the balls, and he bought them and admitted to me today on the show. He admitted why he did it. And I thought it was fascinating. He said he didn't buy it to own the balls. Everyone thought that he was a sucker and that he was stupid, that he got fleeced for millions for balls that weren't worth jack. Nowadays, they say all the Maguire Sosa balls, they aren't worth $400,000. And then Bonds bought five for half a million. That's not worth any either. So here's why he balls. The guy balls because he makes toys. I know they call them action figures. It's just too complicated. He makes toys. Okay? He's like Willy Wonka. The guy makes toys. And he makes action figures, these you know, like toys. And so when he got the deal, I remember he was trying to get in bed with Major League Baseball. And he was trying to get in with the NHL, NBA, and NFL, and to get them to license him to make the action figures. And they had never let him in the door to make that deal. The minute Todd McFarlane bought all those balls, He became so famous. He became front page news nationally. He put his name on a map so fast, make your head spin. And he literally said today, he was at the poker table, the first hand was buy all the balls and have everybody talk bad about him, make fun of him, call him names, say he's stupid, got fleeced and everything else. Meanwhile, the whole time, he was playing everyone. And I'll tell you why when we come back on For All on a Bench. It wasn't about those balls at all. I'll tell you what he did with those licenses.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, For All on a Bench with Carver High on Sports Grid Radio. And on all of our affiliates all over the country and on Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. And in the Virgin Islands. Down by the beach, boy. Yeah, shake it. Anyway, so going back to the Todd McFarlane story. So Todd, when he was talking about going to the poker table, the first hand was to get, you know, it didn't matter that he bought all the balls for $3.5 million. And everyone made fun of him and said he was stupid. And, you know, who's this Canadian guy, this comic book guy? Who does he think he is? And all this other rhetoric. So here's what he said to me, in essence, on the show today. And I'm sure we're going to have clips of it on all of our social media and everything else. He admitted, he said, once I got the licenses with the, you know, the major sports, with baseball, hockey, basketball, and football, once he got those licenses to make the dolls, the action figures, the toys, whatever you want to call them, he made like $400 million. I mean, this guy made 400 times what he paid for those balls. He said, he admitted it. He said, my plan all along was to make myself famous, so that those leagues would answer the door. He said they wouldn't answer his call, the door, his letters, he tried everything to get it, because you have to understand, he was working at like Marvel. He was making The Incredible Hulk. He did Spider-Man. Then he broke off on his own and did Spawn, right? And Spawn, and I don't know enough about Spawn other than I'm friends with Todd. So I knew Spawn as the, and at one point it was like, wasn't it on HBO or something? I think back in the day, it really was. It was like, it was on TV. It was on, they turned it into like a TV show and everything else. But I was never into it, right? I was just like, listen, bro, I don't do toys and I don't do comic books and I don't do, animation. Like monsters. That's not my thing. Like I was into hockey and I was into sports and I was into fights. I was into boxing. I was into fist fights. I liked violence. I like, you know, and when I'm watching movies, I like action movies. I like mafia movies. I like, you know, violence and chaos and sex and stuff like that. Like I'm not into cartoons. I'm not into, comic books. I thought Star Wars sucked. You know, I was like, I was too cool for Star Wars. I thought all those people were dorks. And you can say whatever you want. I know you hate me when I say that and it ruins your life, but I could care less. I never watched any of those. I went to see that movie. I was like, how long is this going to take? Does anybody got any weed? Come on, man. This sucks. I'm going to get more popcorn. Like, I thought a couple things were cool. I kind of was rooting for Darth Vader. I kind of liked him. But my point is, I knew Todd just as friends, right? I was like, what's up, dude? It's your boy Pharrell over here. And I knew he played baseball in the Pac-12, Pac-10 at the time. And I knew everything about him, and I just didn't care about any of that. I was just like, you know, sport. He liked me because I was famous for doing the radio show in the West Coast, in San Francisco and L.A., and I was national, and I was huge, and, you know, I was on everywhere. I was on in Phoenix and Tucson and Scottsdale and everywhere. He lives in Phoenix, and so everyone knew me everywhere. And at the time, back in 95 to 2000, whatever, he bought him in 98. So in 98, I was gigantic in terms of sports radio. I was like the only nationally syndicated radio show. That was it. It was Howard Stern, me. That was it. And you can think whatever you want about me. It's true. And so Todd knew me from that. And he's like, yo, will you do this ball tour for me? Because I was going to be the Thrashers play-by-play that year in 99. And the ball tour was in 99. It was in the summer of 99. It was the summer after 98 when they hit it, right? So he bought all the balls. And then that summer, that season, the next season, 99, was when we were going to do it. And we were going to do it for ALS. So I agreed to do it. He paid me a bunch of money to do it. I was like, all right, I'll do it. Why not? So I went and did it. And I did all the interviews, TV and radio and newspapers, and all I did was promote the end and promote the balls and talk about them. I knew everything about them. I knew every stuff on them, every story. I knew where the ball landed. I knew how far it went. I knew who bought it. I knew how he got it. I knew what he paid for it. So I knew everything. I knew about all Mickey Mantle stuff. I knew about the Madonna stuff, the Tom Hanks stuff. I knew about Nolan Ryan stuff, all the stuff in the exhibit, in the museum, the traveling museum. I knew everything. So I was like versed in, and I could talk about it and do interviews. And I was entertaining. So he hired me. I did. So I never knew any of the other stuff. Like, people think he's an idiot for buying the ball. Believe me, you, that dude is no idiot. Okay. When I knew him, he was just loaded. And I was like, and he took me to his house, and he has this gigantic compound. I'm like, bro, you are living large. I mean, he had it all going. And I was like, I mean, he had it going like, like literally like someone like Bryce Harper money. You know what I mean? He had money like hundreds of millions of dollars, and he had whatever he wanted. This dude was driving around, believe me, you lit. He had it all. He owned part of the Edmonton Oilers. He was at every game, like Diamondbacks, Coyotes, Suns, you know, luxury suites, tickets right behind home plate. He'd take me to all these games and everything, like when I'd visit him or whatever. And so one thing led to another. And he admitted on my show today that the reason he bought them was to get those licenses. And then he turned it into hundreds of millions of dollars. So once he was able to get the licenses from the major sports, because he got famous from buying the ball, suddenly Todd McFarlane was a household name. And then Major League Baseball said, come through the door. They had a meeting. He said, I just want to make toys, action figures of your star players. So all he did was make thousands of toys for all four sports. He did every player that mattered, right? Like today on Coast to Coast, I put up like a Neuwendijk one that he gave me. I have every toy ever. I have Henrik Lundqvist. I have them all. I have every baseball player. I have every football player. I have everything. I have every toy known to man, and because it's odd. And what he did was he made so many of them, and then they started selling, right? Once he had that license and those things started selling like hotcakes, he made hundreds of millions of dollars. That guy's never going to work another day the rest of his life, even though he does, right? He's still an artist, and he still does the Spawn, and he still does comic books, and he still does artwork, and he still gets hired to do huge things with his artistic genius, right? He's a genius. And not only is he a genius, he's a shrewd, slick businessman, because he just fleeced. He fleeced Major League Baseball of all those balls. You know, everyone said, he paid way too much for him. Well, are you really paying that much for him when you pay $3.5 million and you turn it into $400 million? Who's the sucker? Honestly, he suckered everyone. He admitted it today on my TV show. Can you even believe that, Carver? How great was that?
Yeah, I had never heard him, because you've seen him talk about the baseballs a lot. Even on the Long Gone Summer last Sunday night, he was on there, but he never got into, and I know he wasn't on very long, but he never got into the real reason why he bought all these baseballs. It's like you said, he saw it as he wanted to get in the room with the baseball people, with the NFL. He wanted to get in the room with all of these guys to say, look, I want to do this. And once he got that notoriety from buying all those baseballs, they said, what is this guy's deal? And it got him in the room. Really smart, savvy business. You talk about it. That's what that was from McFarlane.
He even admitted it was a poker play. He said it was a poker move. He said, I had the poker face going the whole time. I thought it was brilliant stuff. And then he, it's so funny how it turned out, right? But what they do to you on television, just so you know, it's no different than when, this is what I'll describe. Like, so I cut movies, right? I did two motion pictures, right? And so I filmed these movies. And I've even done CSI Miami's and all these other shows, right? I've done a lot of shows, right? So I've shot even Battle Dome on Columbia TriStar for like 3 years and like, 50, 60 episodes, right? I did all this stuff in Hollywood. And you may not know me, or you're new to me, or you're new to my show or my career or everything. Well, you missed out. Because when I, obviously when I was young, I was doing all this stuff, and I've kind of done it my whole career, really. I've done all these shows through the years, and I've done on MTV, and I did Battle Dome, and I did the Thrashers play-by-play. I've done all this crazy stuff, but I did movies, right? And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm telling you the truth. Here's the deal. My movie sucked, right? But one of them was really cool. One of them I thought sucked. But the point is not that. It's not that I did it. It's that I did it and they shot tons of stuff, right? So we shot for 16 hours a day, and then like 5 seconds of it makes the movie, right? So I did 50 million takes in these movies, 50 million. And like 10 of them made the movie. So you're sitting there going like, well, man, I spent all that time cutting these scenes. What happened? And they call that the cutting room floor. So my point being is that when ESPN did the 30 for 30 Long Gone Summer, what they did is they went in to interview Todd. And I'm sure, because as you could see today, Todd never stops talking, right? He talks as much as I do. And he admits it. He's like, I got a big mouth. I never shut up. So the guy started talking, right? I guarantee you he talked for an hour when they filmed it. And then they put him on for 1 minute. And the only thing they put on was him saying, I got this ball with this scuff mark on it, and I paid $3 million for it. And everyone said I was stupid. And then they moved on. They used that and moved right on. So they made him look stupid, too. You watched it, Carver High. They made him look stupid.
They absolutely did. That was the idea, that he had this $3 million for this ball that nobody really thinks is worth anything.
Because they were on steroids. The whole thing was fake. And so was Bond's 73 ball. He bought all the balls and they're worthless because they were lit on steroids. But he said today, he goes, all the record books say every one of them, there's no asterisk by any of them. There's no asterisk by any of the Sosa, any of the Maguire, or the Bonds ball. And 50 to 100 years from now, people will look back and they'll see that Bonds hit 73 and there's no asterisk. And they'll probably forget that he had the steroids too. And then he made $400 million off of it. Suckers. All right, man. So I was just saying to Carver High, like, you do interviews. Like Todd McFarlane, I'm sure, did an interview with ESPN for this documentary 30 for 30, and they probably shot it for an hour or two, and then they pull 1 minute of it, and they made him look like he just a sucker buying a ball for way too much money, and he got fleeced. But the real story was the one he told on Coast to Coast today. That was the real story. It's no different. I've done 50 million interviews, and about whatever, my career, this, that, what have you. And what they do is they ask you what they want to ask. They do the story they wanted. They edit what they want to run with. They use the angle that they're going to take. It's not the other way around. You don't control anything. So like when the White House does interviews, if they get the president, but I don't even want to talk about this president, but if it's any president, let's say another president, let's say it's another president that's legitimate. Let's say they were to interview someone with brains. They would interview them, but they would control the interview. They would say, we're not even doing this unless you talk about this, this, and this. Here's how it's going to go, and here's how long we're going to do it. But most people do these videos, these interviews, and these TV interviews, radio interviews, newspapers, magazines. I've been in millions of them, right? And I've been in everything. I've been in every magazine known to man. Rolling Stone, Penthouse, you name it, Wall Street Journal, blah, blah, blah. And they do what they want. In fact, I just did an interview. Carver, I, God is my witness. Tell him the truth. I went to do this interview, and it was about I wanted it to be about Sports Grid. I wanted it to be about all the, you know, different OTTs were on. People don't know what OTTs are. It's like Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Stir, Plex, YouTube TV, Apple TV, Fire Stick. All those things are OTTs, right? And then the radio network that we're doing, the overnight radio network, and we're talking about, you know, being on the different radio platforms and networks that we're on, and satellite companies we're on, and where we're on, and things like this, and armed forces and all the rest. And the guy, you know, he didn't care about any of that. He wanted to talk about Letterman. He wanted to talk about Howard Stern. He wanted to talk about my days at Westwood One in Los Angeles. He wanted to talk about my movies, my MTVs, my NHL play-by-play. And he wanted to talk about my career. I've been doing it 35 years. It was about how, and then it was about how do you do radio now and TV now during a pandemic. And that was the angle that he let me talk about, like Sports Grid. He was like, oh, so you're doing this show on Sports Grid now and you're doing radio. How are you doing it when there's no sports? That was all he cared about. And then the writer or the reporter, they do what they want. It's their story. It's not the other way around. I'm not the president of the United States. I don't control interviews. And that's what they did to Todd. ESPN interviewed him for probably an hour, and they used 1 minute to make him look like an idiot. And then he came on my show, and I said, why did you buy the balls? And he told the story, told the truth. And people say, I'm sure somebody said, boy, you sure had him on there long enough. Well, I had him on there for almost an hour today because I thought the story was fascinating. Am I tripping or something, Carver? Is there something I'm missing here? Because I thought it was pretty revealing and cool.
No, you had to keep him for that extra one. You know, usually you have those two segments, 4:12 to 4:37, right in that area. But, you know, you were getting towards the end of it, and he was still getting to the part with the Bonds ball, and you couldn't leave it off of that. You had to let him finish talking about the Bonds ball because it was an interesting part of the story.
There you go. So, and listen, let's go back now that I'm done talking about how wonderful I am, which is not my intent, because we already know I'm a D. I think that the baseball players, just honestly, like, they're so painful. Like, what a bunch of tools these dudes are. I keep telling you they're stupid. They really are stupid. Now they're trying to, tonight, they're trying to complain some more that there's not enough games. And you know why? Because in Portuguese, it means 1 + 1 = 8. They want more games so they can make more money. This is not about, they don't even care if the entire team dies of COVID. They don't. I'm telling you, they don't care. All they care about is money. That's it. That everything. Just so let's just be really clear here on this show. From now on, let's understand from this day forward, this will be like our theme forever, Carver High. And I think you've been with me a long time. Everything in sports, in sports now, everything's about money. There is nothing else. Like, there's all these feel good stories, and let's do some 30 for 30s, and then we'll get Tom Rinaldi on Sunday mornings to make us cry on E60, and then they'll do the puff piece about the kid in the wheelchair, and then, you know, they do all this, and, you know, she's dying, he's lost his arms, and, you know, they do all this stuff. Sports, television, the drama of Jim Nance and the tower at 18, and just, it's going to be a challenge for Jim. It's really all about, let's just get down to it. It's all about money. And let me tell you what we're about. We're about betting. You know what betting's about? Money. You know what the Belmont Stakes is to me Saturday? It's about money. Do you think I give a rat's ass about any of those horses? You know, they talk all the time about all the dead horses everywhere. You know what I care about? Rip tickets. I mean, I'm a mean person overall in general to begin with. You know what I don't like? I don't like Bob Baffert. How's that? That's a better story, isn't it? I think he cheats. And I think he spikes their cocktail. You know, I think he gives them a little. Remember Mark Grace today, a little get up and go? I think your boy Bob gives him a little get up and go. So, I mean, how many of his horses fail drug tests before people believe he cheats? You know, and then we got all these idiots. You know what they do at NBC? They suck up to that guy like a French porn star. I mean, honestly. And so I only care about money in, like, you know, betting and sports, and like who's going to win the game and who's going to cover the bet. Now, if that makes me an awful person, how did I end up at Sports Grid? Do you know why I'm at Sports Grid? Money. And it's because of they never let me talk about sports betting at CBS or even at Sirius, because all they do is worry. Do you remember, Carver? You didn't even remember when I was at Howard. All they worried about was me. I was always talking about betting and talking about gambling and talking about my website and talking about selling picks, because that's all I care about is betting. I mean, sports to me is about betting. When I did it at CBS, tell them how bad it was for me with lawyers at CBS. Just tell them the truth.
Yeah, they frowned upon you speaking any time of gambling, or it was a very dirty word when you were on it, on any of those places. How could you be talking about sports gambling or picks or anything like that?
What did they make me do with the lawyer every week for the commercials?
You had to send the 15-second commercial, get it approved by this suit, then get it approved by another suit before they said, oh, okay, you can't say this in it, you can't put that in it, you can't put that in it. Now you can do it.
It was a lawyer. It was the company's highest legal officer, their biggest lawyer for the entire company. Every week for 7 years, I had to send him this commercial. I hate the guy's guts still. In fact, I hope he gets COVID. I really do. I can't stand the guy like dead. That's how much I hate him. So let's just be clear. If I met him tomorrow, I'd punch him in the face. He was such a pain in my ass. And so, you know what? Finally, someone came to me and they said, you know, Lou Mayone said, listen, bro, come over here and talk about gambling all day, every day. We just want you to be Pharrell and talk gambling. And we want you to bet on everything. And we want you to have a massive gambling problem with us. And I was like, what? We can talk gambling? We can talk sports betting all day? We can do TV and radio shows about sports betting? We can help people win bets? We can make money. Everyone can brag about their gambling problem or their tickets or their betting or you know, their wives leaving them over betting. You know, can you imagine like my wife trying to give me the business over sports betting? I don't listen to her about sports betting. Like, mind your own business. I don't tell you what to do. Don't talk to me about sports betting. You know, sports betting feeds my family. And it also, everything I ever made with my company is about my family anyway. It's about sports betting. Stay out of it. I don't mess with people. Sports betting's cool. Sports betting's awesome. Sports gambling laws, betting laws, states that allow sports betting. I love all states. If you don't allow sports betting in your state, I hate you. In fact, you're all backward-ass morons, and you're stupid, and you wonder why your state is broke-ass, and you have nothing. Take a good look. You want to see making money? Look at Nevada. Look at New Jersey. We're making so much money, make your head spin. In fact, everybody talks about how smart Andrew Cuomo is. He's about as smart as my cable after I drop a yam in the toilet, because the guy can't see that New Jersey is just raking in the money. And New York, nothing but problems. They're $50 trillion in debt, and you can't figure out they should allow betting in New York. How stupid are you? I thought you were supposed to be smart or something. Are you kind of like governor or something? Like, at least Murphy knows I'm going to allow sports betting amount of money. Money. You're not doing anything to do with sports raking money. Right? Am I wrong, Carver? No. No, I am not wrong. So I have no idea how this conversation tailed out of control. I don't remember anywhere we started. But I like baseball players anyway. You know why? That's right. Because they're complaining now about games. They're complaining that season's not enough, and it's because they want more money. And now they're complaining tonight about, here's the deal. I'm going to play baseball, and they all need to shut the Pharrell up. Shut up. Stop talking. Stop complaining. Stop going on social media and on television and on radio and complaining all day. Because all it does is make everyone hate your guts. And, you know these players that can't handle people booing them? Have you ever seen these players that snap when, you know, they're on the road and people are giving them the business and then they finally snap and they give it back to them? It's because these players are so thin-skinned and they're such peas and they're such stupid asses that they no matter what, the public opinion drives them nuts. It drives them nuts. Remember the girl that got popped for the DUI, judge's girlfriend? She's like, oh, my God, my boyfriend's so screwed because he's so famous. He doesn't even care if I die in a drunk driving accident. It's just that his name's going to get dragged into it. All they care about is public perception. That's all they care about is they want to be famous. They want to be rich. They want everyone to suck up to them. They want to give them nothing back. They don't want to give the media anything that they can chew on. They just want to be seen being famous, like Garoppolo. You don't think he wanted to be seen with that porn star? If he didn't want to be seen with her, he would have never gone out in public with her in Hollywood, right? I mean, let's face facts, right? If you go out to dinner in Hollywood with a porn star with just giant setups, okay, you're going to be on the news. Okay, he knew because every one of them wants to be famous and rich and they want to be left alone with their other struggles in life. But all they want is money. That's all they want. That's all they want is money. So all this talk and all they're doing is digging their own grave. The more they complain, the more they, be the letter B about money and games, the more they complain about their contracts and their CBAs and they're arguing with the owners and how poorly treated they are and how miserable they are. All it is doing is penting up hate toward them from fans. The fans this summer, and you better, the players better pray they never let fans into these games. Because you know what's going to happen? When you go to a game now, when they finally let fans go into a game, they are going to abuse the players so bad. Torrey Hunter's going to wish he was still in Boston getting racially abused, honestly. Because remember how he complained about how bad that was? You think that was bad. Remember how he said, that's the worst I've ever seen. I went to Boston and they racially abused me. You think that was bad? They're going to attack these guys till they die. They're going to attack them till they die because of their greed. Am I wrong, Carver? They're just going to keep abusing them. And every time you strike out, you're going to get abused. Every time you commit an error, you're going to get abused. Every time you lose, you're going to get abused. Every time you go 0-for-4, you're going to get abused. And the writers are going to talk crap about you. Everyone's going to talk crap about you. Welcome to hell because of all your greed. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So my point is not about anything evil, black or white, race or anything else. You talk about Torrey Hunter. What I'm saying is that when he got abused there, that's nothing compared to what they're going to get. Like the Astros, Carver Hire, the Astros going to have fun this summer when they go back to the ballpark and get abused every single night, no matter where they are?
They've gotten a break already this summer because if there would have been a normal schedule and there would have been fans in the seats since April, they would have been absolutely tortured the entire summer. The Astros are getting a break in this whole thing.
I'll give you that they're going to get a break, but and they may very well escape the whole thing because if there's no fans, they may ride off into the sunset and get away with murder. They already got away with murder because they got a ring out of it. They should have stripped them of that World Series ring. That's all there is to it. And you know why they don't? It's because that commissioner has no onions because he's a tool. He doesn't have the stones to do what's right. What's right is strip their ass of that title. Every other sport, the Olympics, you name it, even NCAA, they strip you of your titles, right? They did it. Did they not do it to USC and Memphis and all the rest of them? All they do is strip you and Louisville, they just take everything from you. What do they do in baseball when you cheat? Nothing. They do nothing to you. In baseball, when you cheat, they do nothing to you. That's it. I mean, what do they take a draft pick away from? Who gives a rat's ass about that stupid draft of theirs? I mean, I don't know what's worse, the baseball draft or the hockey draft. I really don't know what's worse. So you got Sports Rage, Morenci, Bagels, Bad Beats, Wetzel, Audie, Sports Grid Overnight, Kicking Ass, Taking Names Network. You can watch us here every night, do the show. I'll be on at 4 to 6 Eastern tomorrow on Coast to Coast. You'll be styling with that. I'm sure the owners and players can get in another all-day fight. Let's just keep a clock on them, 24 hours from now until 4 o'clock tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have enough juice on more of their angst and hatred toward one another and all their BS. But they're going to play baseball, and they're all a bunch of femmes anyway, honestly. And if I get to go to a game of Carver High at the Boogie Down, I'm going to spend the whole time doing it, people. I hate everyone, but I love you, fans. I'll see you tomorrow.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.